You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
My grandfather died. My mom says we're just here to pick through the rubble of his life.
Call it luck. Call it karma. I believe that everything happens for a reason. Come on, darling.
It has a gunner seat?
Hello there, and welcome back to Fan Critical. We've already said Happy New Year in a previous podcast, but I'll say it again, Happy New Year, if this is your first foray with Fan Critical in 2022.
Ever.
And we have a lovely surprise for you, kind of a bonus in a way, for several reasons. Mainly because anyone who listens to this podcast, historically, knows that we have a slight obsession with Ghostbusters.
Specifically Ghostbusters 2.
Which some say is underrated and some say is overrated. No one quite knows. I would play the jingle, but probably everyone's sick of that jingle already. I'm joined by my fellow Busters. Hello, John.
Hello there, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Getting over my COVID now.
Yeah.
So probably COVID negative at this moment in time. Probably sounding a lot better as well. Gareth, my other Ghostbuster friend, how are you?
Hey, mate. I thought maybe we should all be called podcast from now on because of the podcast we do.
Yeah, that is true. You know what I should have done? I said, you know, I'm going to do it now. I'm just going to add it on because I just thought of it now. This is the new intro. It's like, so I know what you're thinking. It's Ghostbusters. Who am I going to call? Well, I've got John and Gareth on the line.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Good.
There you go. That's better. Yeah. That's better. Yeah. That, isn't
don't
it?
Even edit it. Just leave it in like that.
Nope. Keep it.
No. Yeah. This is chill, bro. This is definitely leaving it in.
I'm very surprised that you've not gone right. This is blah blah blah. This is this Ghostbuster. This person represents this Ghostbuster. I'm very surprised.
Yeah. You know, I did think about that, but John, I've actually. It's funny that you mentioned such a thing because I've got you in my notes as Muncher. So okay. I don't know what you think about that.
Brilliant.
But you're glad you brought it up now, John.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Well, do you want to...
So that's later on.
Yeah, good. Muncher. Good. Unbelievable. I don't even know why I bother with this podcast, to be honest. I don't get paid for it. I didn't even want to do this podcast. Sunday morning. Could have been sitting there, you know. Well, you know, Shell and Ella, my wife and daughter, are out. So I've got Sunday morning free. Could have been sitting there playing Spider-Man on PS5.
Good game.
I'm sitting here getting fucking insulted instead.
Look at that, Len. That's good, Len, he's eating his microphone. Stop it, John.
Unbelievable, honestly. Go on and get on with it.
Anyway, so we're here to talk about the Ghostbusters sequel, Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's been a long time since Ghostbusters 2, and there have been many failed attempts to make a Ghostbusters 3.
Go on then. How many?
And this isn't really... Probably five, if anything.
Three.
But this is a spiritual sequel, in a way. It's not, you know, it's not a direct sequel. It's a reboot. I don't even know if you want to call it that. It's a tough one. It treads a line. And I'm going to tell you right now that the Rotten Tomatoes score, hazard a guess, please, boys, for the critic score Critic score?
62%.
Okay, John's Googled it.
I was going to say 69%.
It's 62%, so John knows.
He's been reading it.
He's been reading it.
Done some research. Do you know what I mean?
Not like that.
Not like I, you know, fucking no thanks for it, is there? Get on with it.
No, thank you.
John, stop it.
Not even had breakfast yet.
Come on.
The audience score.
What is for breakfast?
Give me a...
I don't know, just a bit of like metal. Anything, some bars, some jail bars.
Yeah. The audience score is 95%, guys. So obviously he's doing very well with the audience. Now, this is interesting. I thought we'd compare this to a film that we recently just reviewed on 60 Minutes to Midnight, which in a way is a similar sort of film. It's a sequel to a film that happened ages ago. Some people didn't want it necessarily. However, I thought it was quite interesting to note how Matrix is actually sort of polling more favourably with critics compared to this, which I thought was quite interesting because critics, the biggest issue that I've noticed online from reading a few reviews from respected reviewers and listening to a few things as well, is that they say that Ghostbusters Afterlife is got too much fan service, which is kind of negative. But then they praise Matrix for literally just playing clips of the original film and literally just also fan service all over again. It's just a rehash of the original. So I thought it was quite an interesting, you know, just a bit of how have they come to that decision? Like
yeah.
You read one critic's review of this and The Matrix, someone who loves The Matrix and then pans this. And I find it fascinating to me.
I don't think Matrix is fan service. It's just a terrible film.
It's fan disservice.
Yeah, true in a way.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I mean, a lot of people that love The Matrix, and look, I mean, look, Len, you're one of them. You know, if it was fan service, you'd probably
The original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if Resurrections was fan service, I mean, I'd still hate it because I didn't like 2 or 3, but you'd probably like it. Let's be honest, this Ghostbusters film is serious fan service, which is why, and we all love Ghostbusters, so we're probably going to be quite kind in our scores. But I'll tell you one thing I won't be kind about, and I want to get your opinion on it. The title of this film, Afterlife, I don't like it.
Mm.
I've never liked it, even when it was announced.
Okay.
Why not?
I just, I don't know, it feels like a video game a little bit, Ghostbusters
Sounds
Afterlife.
Sounds a bit like a Hellraiser movie.
Afterlife does sound like a video game. Do you know what's really funny? Do you know what's funny that you mentioned the Ghostbusters Afterlife? The third Ghostbusters film, and this was one of the ones that failed pre-production ages and ages ago, I'm talking decades ago, written by Dan Aykroyd, was called Ghostbusters Hellstrom. And that was going to be Ghostbusters 3, where they get sent to a parallel universe of New York, which was inhabited by ghosts, and it was like a more dark future for Manhattan.
Alternative
and stuff like
York.
That. And it, yeah. And that never happened, but it did actually get sort of a video game incarnation about 5 years later. That was sort of the plot of one of the video games. So it's funny you mentioned video games there. And there's a little bit of Ghostbusters failed pre-production history for you.
Talking names, if we're talking title of the movie, the real issue should be with Ghostbusters, because let's be honest, this is never about ghosts, is it? These are monster busters. That's
in a way.
Who's ever seen a ghost that's looks like, you know?
Well, before we get into spoilers, Gareth, we're going to talk about the film spoiler free for our overall thoughts and reviews. And then we're going to jump into the spoiler chat. Just don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. So I know there's a staggered release across the world. It's been out for maybe a few weeks in America and it's just come out here in Australia, blah, blah, blah. So first and foremost, can I please get your blueberry scores for Ghostbusters Afterlife? I'm going to start with you, Gareth, and of course, a synopsis.
You want me to give it a synopsis?
Review it for me.
Okay, got you.
And give it some blueberries.
Sure.
We've been doing this for 250 episodes. I shouldn't, you know, let's just go.
It was a little bit confusing, right. But anyway.
It did say it give it a synopsis, right? Like, yeah. I'm not making that up. Yeah. Okay. Ghostbusters. So, you're right. There is a staggered release. And unfortunately, it's... it's out in the cinemas here in Melbourne at the moment. But having been locked down with COVID and having Melbourne just exploded with COVID, it's very much like... some of the scenes in the original Ghostbusters where New York is just overrun. That's what Melbourne's like at the moment. So I didn't get to go to the cinema to see this. Had to find a stream online. And it was a bizarre experience. That can dictate your experience sometimes. So about 25 minutes in, some...
Oh God, pop-ups.
Voice, not pop-ups. I wish it was pop-ups. Some voice just started shouting over the top in Arabic, and I think it was like audio description, and it was bizarre. And so I was
in the film, mate. That was genuine in the film. I got that in my version.
It was that took me out of it somewhat.
Dan Aykroyd is he's converted to Islam. in the Ghostbusters
2. So I had the audio troubles. I had some bizarre sort of color changes throughout. It sort of went from being very bright to being very dark in within the same scene. So that was a shame, but I was able to put that to one side, and I really liked this film. I actually had a very good time watching it. I think there was trepidation going into it for me, because it's such a hard thing to reboot an absolute classic from the 80s, and to ensure that you do its service today in the modern world, within the modern context as well, without shitting all over the original, is a really hard thing to do. And I think they managed it. I think what they managed to avoid doing is... Or what they did do is they sort of made a film that's somewhat timeless, I think. Like, this film that was made, it works as a film made today, but it could have been made at any point, really, since Ghostbusters came out, and it would fit in with that world. The choice to go, you know, this isn't a spoiler, but the choice to have it in a rural setting, I think, really helped that. I think that was a clever touch. I thought it had a lot of heart. The young cast are really good. Finn Wolfhard there, obviously, but he's not the star of the show by any stretch. I don't think his sister and her mate podcast, which
legends.
They're great. I absolutely love them. And there were enough touches and reminders of the past and harks back, as we say on this podcast, doesn't really make much sense, back to the original films, for it to be touching and heartwarming. I really liked it. I'm giving it 4 blueberries.
Lovely score. 4 blueberries. I mean, you can't go wrong with 4 bloobs. To put it into context, you gave Matrix 1, so...
It's lucky to get that one, let's be fair.
Yeah, it's nice to return to form, isn't it? I'll go next. And I will say that I also had a lot of fears that this film just leave Ghostbusters alone with my general sort of thought process. It's got past the point where the old cast could really, you know, shoulder a third movie. So they would have to reboot it. And I was always skeptical, just like, you know, And don't take this as offensive to the sort of all-female cast of Ghostbusters film that was made, but I watched that film and it had no connective tissue for me to the original. Like, it didn't have enough going on there. Yeah. And the sort of tone wasn't right, and it just really didn't... It just didn't work for me at all.
Yeah, we get it, mate. You hate women. And we get it, all right?
No, definitely not. Because my favorite, I love the female characters in this iteration.
His
of Ghostbusters
mother is
Afterlife.
One, yeah,
yeah. So. Yeah. Nah, this was a lovely surprise because it does have heart. It has a tremendous amount of character, a tremendous amount of soul. It takes some of the best bits of the old films, and it doesn't rely upon them necessarily. And it just uses them, in my opinion, in the correct way. Like, I didn't feel like they used, you know, Ecto-1 too much. I didn't feel like they overdid it with some of the gadgets. I think they just used them the correct amount, and the amount that got me extremely excited. And I was telling John before we started recording, I was like, you know, our young baby Alfie is going through a bit of a sleep regression. So he wasn't sleeping very well yesterday. And we were watching this whilst we were in the middle of trying to get him to sleep. And every time we got him to sleep, I wanted to turn the movie up because I wanted to hear those sound effects, those glorious, glorious sound effects that I remember, just like the turning on of the proton pack, the ghost traps, Ecto-1 sirens, you know. And every time I turned it up, my partner was like, turn it down, turn it down. So I was a bit devastated that I didn't get to hear this in a full
theatrical.
Hear that Arabic audio description, please.
Yeah.
The memories of Ghostbusters too. The proton packs, the Ecto-1, the Arabic screaming. It brings it all back.
Yeah. But no, this was a glorious surprise, and I absolutely adored it. Setting it in a rural setting, like you said, Gareth, visually I thought was actually really jaw-dropping. Like, no spoilers, but just the backdrop of these like wheat fields with the proton packs, the streams of the proton packs and the ghosts and stuff. I thought it worked brilliantly, and the new cast is absolutely adorable, and that is the only way I can describe them. They are adorable, and I would happily see another Ghostbusters film, but maybe you don't need one. Maybe you don't need one. I'm going to give it 4 as well. It's not going to get a 5, unfortunately. I think there's a couple of things, which I'll talk about in spoilers, which didn't quite work for me. But overall, had a bloody great time, even if I did have to keep the volume at a very controlled level. And now to someone we've released from a ghost trap to talk to us. John,
yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just
get that out of your mouth for a start.
God, that sounds dodgy.
Yeah, yeah, it's not my finger or a penis. It's just a bit of wood. All right, I said I'd not have breakfast, so a bit of wood. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, just picking up on something you said there, Gaz. You called it a reboot. Do you think they'll make more of these?
I hope not, but I think they might. This is the thing. This is the formula with Hollywood. Is it successful? Yes, they will make more. Did it make money? Yes, they will make more.
Yep. This made okay money. Okay money.
Yeah, all right, Moneybags. It's not made Lem money.
Yeah, sorry.
It's done all right. It's covered its marketing.
Not yet.
No, look, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I find it. I understand some of the more negative reviews. I mean, Metacritic have this at 45, which is not good at all.
Ouchies.
I think The Matrix is like 69 or 67 on there. So burn that website. It is just an aggregator. It is just an aggregator.
Yeah.
And it is...
Burn multiple websites,
well,
then.
Yeah.
Let's burn multiple websites. Or
burn multiple critics.
That's an option. You know?
So that's a call to our listeners there to attack any critics that you see. Obviously, don't do that. Don't do that. God, why are you doing that? You know, because you want to make them the ghosts. Ah, yeah, no, that makes sense. Look, I really enjoyed this film. I don't think it's particularly... I wouldn't say it's a classic by any means. I'll give it a 4 bloob. If this was Stranger Things, the movie, I'd be like, I'd be really disappointed. I think a lot of people probably see the Ghostbusters franchise as like a kid's film. It really isn't. Ghostbusters 1.
It isn't. So,
you know, okay, it's a comedy and it's got some funny ghosts and Slimer, big green ghost. And then you've got the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you know, hilarious. You know,
again, they're not ghosts, are they? These are clearly monsters.
Slimer's, he's transparent. So, and he goes through walls.
He's a transparent monster, in my opinion. I don't know.
No.
Ghosts, for me, should have some sort of humanoid vibe to them.
I don't know what they're... I'm not an expert on the... So on that, I think Ghostbusters Afterlife is probably one of the more... one of the films that would more closely resemble that kind of PG, like, tag, really.
Yeah. Definitely.
Having said that, I really enjoyed it. And to echo some of the things that you said, Len, I think you're spot on in terms of... but that bit... you know, I knew it was going to happen. I turned to Cheryl and I was like, here we go, we're gonna hear the Ecto, and they did it, and I was like, yeah, brilliant. I don't care if I saw it coming. You know, sometimes you go to a restaurant and you order something very basic because you're like, look, I know what I like.
Kung Pao chicken.
Yeah, I'll just have the chicken, please. This is a pizza place, but okay.
One chicken.
But it was, I loved it, and without going into to spoilers, you could see how it was going to go, and that's fine. I thought the kids were great. It would be very easy for some of those kids to be really, really annoying, but they weren't. And I think it probably helps that the quality of child acting now is very high, particularly with some of the casting that you've seen in... some of these TV shows. So yeah, look, I really enjoyed it. It kind of did what I expected it to do. And I quite like the fact that there are some stars in this that, you know, kind of take a step back a little bit. This could very easily have been a Paul Rudd's Ghostbusters, and it isn't. So I'll give it 4 bloobs.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, you actually reminded me that... weirdly enough, today my mum sent me a photo of me as a 4-year-old in a Ghostbusters outfit. Didn't even know I watched it yesterday, just out of nowhere. She hasn't sent a photo of me as a child for a very long time. They sent it in a Ghostbusters uniform. I was like, that is so weird.
Sounded a and bit then it, you may- like you meant you were dressed as a 4-year-old in a Ghostbusters costume.
No,
which is
no,
bizarre.
I was 4 years old. I was
cheap
4 years
costume.
Old in the
21 years
in a
old,
Ghostbusters
you were as
uniform.
A 4-year-old in a Ghostbusters.
Because when I was watching the film, I kept turning to Mel, my partner, going, I said to her when we started watching it, I said, you've seen Ghostbusters, right? And she said, no. And I was like, what?
Pardon?
She hasn't seen Ghostbusters. So then the whole way through the film, I was like, I had a proton pack. I had a ghost trap. I had a really large model of the Ecto-1.
I was wondering where that was going to go then. Jesus.
Yeah. But then when you said, John, the original Ghostbusters wasn't for kids. Like, for me... it encapsulates a lot of my childhood because I did have all of those toys. I was obsessed with Ghostbusters to the same level I was with like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. For me, they were like the same. Mm-hmm. And I'll always remember, just before we get onto spoilers, that my dad had an amazing jukebox. Gaz, you've probably seen my jukebox. It's actually from like the 1950s. That's not a euphemism. And
I've seen both.
Oh yeah, true. And as a kid, I didn't know much about 50s or 60s music,
obviously.
Or 70s or 80s music. And
a weird
but my dad filled the juke
or 90s music or 2000s music.
My dad filled this jukebox with all of these vinyls through the decades, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s music. And the only song that I knew in the jukebox was
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Who are you going to call? Who Are You Gonna Call by Ray Davis Jr. or whatever it is.
No, and not Ray Davis. Ray Parker Jr. Who's Ray sorry. Davis Jr.? Yeah. King Hill. That's one of your 50s jazz artists, Ray... I think.
Exactly. And I remember just dancing around to that song like all the time. I just put it on repeat, on repeat, on repeat on the jukebox. So yeah, just a little story there.
What was the dance?
Just do something for us here and I'll describe let's just it. Say,
nah.
Don't do that with your hand.
I'll leave it up to the... where's that going? No, don't worry about it. I'll leave it up to the imagination. But yeah, just a little...
Jesus little, Christ.
Little Ghostbusters story for you there. Just taking you back to my childhood.
Well, funnily enough,
weird childhood.
So my brother was a DJ. My brother's a little bit older than me. And one of the first things that he bought me as a kid was a Ghostbusters vinyl. And obviously the original Ghostbusters vinyl was a red vinyl with the white ghost on it. But it was glow in the dark. Yep. So he used to play it in the dark and you just see it, just the ghost spinning on the... It was amazing.
So good. Mm. I love that. That's my kind of shit. Right. Before we jump into spoilers, just want to say, once again, Happy New Year. Thank you to all of our Patreons out there who...
Banging that drum.
Jesus
Let it
Christ.
Go, mate.
Who are lovely and donate money to us every single month. We have a new Patreon, everybody, to kick off the new year. Terry Pitnick.
Happy New Week.
Happy New Week. Terry Pitnick, thank you very much for joining the Patreon club.
Terry
Pitnick. Exclusive. Yeah. Pitnick, not picnic. So, yeah. Not like the chocolate.
All right, stop nitpicking picnics. Nitpick.
That's very good. That's very... You almost nailed that, John. Nearly. But yes, Terry, thank you very much for joining the Patreon club. Your support is extremely valuable to us. So thanks very much. You will get obviously access to the bonus content, and there is more bonus content coming to the Patreon. Everyone hold on to something. It's coming. It's definitely on its way. So yes, thank you very much. And if you would like to join the Patreon and support this podcast any way you can go to www.patreon.com/fancritical. And on there, you'll see the various tiers of sponsorship. You guys make this podcast
thanks,
possible
Terry.
For us by giving us any form of donations. As we said, this isn't our full-time job, so any donations
you
is,
guys is... pay for this podcast so we don't have to,
essentially. Exactly.
I hope none of you have ants at your picnic.
There you go. Don't know what that was. Anyway, let's jump into spoilers. So I thought we'd just be very loosey-goosey about this, as you know.
Oh, my word.
No, she's not coming. Here we go.
Why is this a phrase that keeps happening?
I don't know.
Happy New Year, loosey-goosey. What's going on?
John's mate. So this is the spoiler chat. I want to ask your opinion, first of all, just about, the new Busters, as I've put in my notes, the new Busters.
Busting makes me feel
Phoebe
good.
Spengler.
That's what I mean.
Phoebe
adult.
Spengler.
So adult.
Trevor Spengler. Yeah. Mm. Podcast.
Yeah.
Lucky. What do you reckon to this gang of four? Are you happy with them? Who was the standout? It's got to be Phoebe, isn't
Phoebe.
It?
Phoebe.
Yeah, easy. Easy.
Next.
Easy. Next.
Yeah.
Next.
Get on with it.
No, look. Let's give her the credit she deserves. Really, really good. Great character. Great acting as well.
And, great jokes.
And can I
great
tell
jokes?
You, the jokes are terrific, John. I thought
they are.
I thought you would love some of those jokes.
Yeah, really good. Really. Well, you should as well. They're all dad jokes, man.
No, I did. I did. Yeah. I wrote a few down. And I thought she gave a really... This is a weird thing to say, but if you were told, play the granddaughter of Egon Spengler, I reckon she did that perfectly. Like, that is exactly what I would imagine she'd be like. So, well done to her.
Sorry. But is that...
A bit on the nose?
No. Is that a bit silly, though, given that she's never met a granddad?
Yeah, but some things are innate, aren't they? There's obviously a scientific curiosity.
I'd say like the nose shape rather than sense of humour. but hey, look, biology is not my forte. Mm. Yeah. Oh, they've got the same hair and glasses. Why? Mm. Who's your dad?
I thought she was...
Yeah?
Egon as well.
She treaded that line between funny and also just being this sort of like a kid. She's definitely on the spectrum, yeah, isn't she? She's playing a character that's on the spectrum, and I thought she did a fantastic job of that.
Neurodiverse, at least.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I think her relationship with her grandfather, albeit in a... spiritual way, yeah, I found that to be very sweet, and we'll get on to the end later, but you know, I almost had a tear in my eye. It was lovely. Just talking about Harold Ramis quickly, who obviously sadly passed away about 7 years ago now. It was always thought that obviously any previous iteration of the Ghostbusters failed sequels that were going to be made, he was going to be in it, but obviously he wasn't able to be in this. But then he was able to be in this, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, was he though?
His spirit was in it, and I think that's the thing that counts, and that's, you know, so joke's on you. No, but seriously, his spirit was genuinely in it. It felt to me...
His spirit wasn't like, genuinely in it. Can we, honestly...
No.
Like, can we draw a line on that?
Can we borrow him for a bit?
Yeah.
But no, what did you guys think about his inclusion in the film? Even a likeness, which is always, you know, quite controversial, even though there was approval for this likeness, as far as I understand it.
Mm. Well, I really liked it.
Mm. I really liked it. Sorry, John. I thought it was handled well, and I think there's a real risk of it coming off either seeming exploitative or too sort of cheesy. But I thought that they found the balance really well. I was really glad that he was in it, and I thought, aside from his literal kind of spirit being represented, that a lot of the film had his character in it as well. I loved it. I really liked it. I do know that Jason Reitman, the director.
Yep.
So his favorite character when he was a kid was Egon Spengler. Mm-hmm. So really cool that he got to sort of include it, and you can tell that it comes from a good-hearted place of fandom, I think.
All right, John, you wanted to say something there?
Yeah. It is good that he's in it. Do you not find it, as Ghostbusters fans, do you not find it slightly depressing to know that Egon ended up just being this recluse?
Yep. I do agree that was actually what I was about to say to you, guys, is my next point. Was I do that conversation with Dan Aykroyd that when she's in jail and she calls and says, you know, who's she going to call? That's a great line that gets mentioned there in the film. It that broke my heart a little bit. I was like, what do you mean? So after Ghostbusters 2, you all just, you know, completely fucking fell apart. And Egon was this... The way he talks about Egon, he says like he hates him. Obviously he doesn't, but it's really got to me. I was like, Jesus.
But I think that's kind of reflective of real life, because there's a big falling out, wasn't there, between Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. So I wondered whether it was a bit of a sort of nod to that, because they did make up just before he died. I wonder if it was a bit of a reference to the fact that they did spend years kind of not liking each other, and that I think they sort of all kind of admitted that it was just all a bit of a misunderstanding as well in real life, which is kind of the route that they go down is that he was actually right. Spengler was right you know, what he thought was happening was correct. So they're giving him credit. Yeah, it's sad, but I get it.
Okay. Well, that's good, because it is very, very sad. But we'll get on to the original Ghostbusters, the OG Ghostbusters, a bit later on in this chat.
Also, sorry, just quickly, how much do you buy into this whole thing where everyone has no idea who the Ghostbusters are, particularly Egon in this little rural town? Whereas it's just some mad guy that just lives on his own in a house.
Yep, definitely buy it, 100%. And there's actually moments in this film where they watch YouTube clips because obviously someone someone's retrospectively added the advert and all this Ghostbusters clips to YouTube, which is kind of what happened, you know, when YouTube first surfaced. People and like Facebook, people used to like take photos of their old photos and upload them. It was bizarre. And you would totally, the Ghostbusters happened in a time where it kind of would be remembered in archive clips and stuff like that, but it's not this instant media buzz, billions of views that you know didn't exist back then. So I totally 100% buy the fact that the Ghostbusters faded into complete history without any recollection of what happened.
I think seriously, you're right in terms of like, I agree, somebody like Spengler could go to a rural village in the middle of nowhere and get away with it. There's no way, if that happened in 1984, there's no way that everybody wouldn't remember the time that New York was attacked by millions of ghosts.
A giant marshmallow man.
Yeah.
No, a giant marshmallow man.
Giant marshmallow man.
Like, yeah. Who's forgetting that, honestly? Come on.
That's not happening, is it?
It's kind of like Watchmen, right? Where everyone's like this giant octopus, squid.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, squid.
In the HBO TV series, that kind of changes the course of, you know, political history and yeah. I sort of agree with both of you. I guess the problem that I have is if it was the younger generation, you know, people that are more interested in the size of fucking Kim Kardashian's ass than, you know, actual fucking policies, then yeah, I would kind of buy it. If it was like a young shopkeeper, it was just, oh yeah, it's just some creepy old guy that comes in, fair enough. But I mean, the shopkeeper himself is an old guy. He would definitely remember
Kim Kardashian's ass. He would definitely remember
the size of her ass, because I think we all do. Yeah. He would definitely remember that there was a fucking giant marshmallow man in New York. You know, that would be a big thing in history. But I could
maybe
sort
his
of,
memory's going, so...
Well, Maybe.
But some of them do know about it. Some of them do know about it. Some of them, like podcast knows. Paul Rudd knows. You know, he says, "What, you've never heard of the Ghostbusters?" Like that. Like he says it like they are celebrities.
Yeah, but he says it like, you know, an obscure TV show that some people go. You know, if you're talking to the right sorts of people, then yeah, of course I've heard of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Whereas if you
but guys. You're forgetting that in Ghostbusters 2, our favourite Ghostbusters film, a lot of the inhabitants of New York still don't believe what actually happened. So, you know.
No, but they do at the end of Ghostbusters 2 when fucking Statue of Liberty comes alive.
They're all singing. Yeah. Yeah. But, that's when they remember that. But I'm just saying, originally, they're sent to the fucking insane asylum.
Let's be fair. There are still people who don't believe that we walked on the moon. So.
And you think we did land on the moon, did you? More for you, mate.
Yeah. Can we talk about podcasts for a minute? Because I think he's excellent as well.
He is excellent.
He has a good line when he's like, when Phoebe says she doesn't believe in ghosts, which, again, in this universe where 1984 has happened in New York, everybody knows that ghosts are real now. Like, that's beyond... Or monsters.
And marshmallow men.
Monsters are real. And then he's just like, what? But what? All the evidence. And that is so true of today, isn't it? Like, some of the conversations you have with people, and it's just like, but all the evidence.
COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know what's in the vaccine, do you? So don't.
Well, I do, and my internet signal is much improved since I got vaccinated.
No, you're right. You're right, Gaz. Podcast is a fantastic addition to the team, and his level of sort of camaraderie with Phoebe is actually brilliant. Yeah. And obviously, podcast dear to our hearts for his name. I, for one, would love to check out his podcast. It seems like a messy, messy production. So I could teach him a thing or two about producing and maybe some post-production in there to make his job a bit easier, you know? Then maybe Dan Aykroyd will listen to our podcast. Who knows? What did you guys think about using the storyline of Gozer and the Keymasters from the original, which obviously is brilliant in terms of in the original, it's brilliant. I love the way it looked with the huge skyscraper and the two dogs standing like gargoyles in a church, you know, and dogs. That whole idea of possession. I don't know. What did you call
I brought
them?
My dogs with me.
Yeah. Hey, in Ghostbusters 1, Lewis goes, "Here, doggy," like that.
Yeah, Lewis does, dogs, yeah. So
I'm just saying Lewis does. Yeah. So did you like that going back full circle?
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? Like, is there anything to suggest that Gozer's been defeated after the first one? Like, I quite like the lore on when they're in the little cavern or whatever you want to call it, the depths and you see all the dates. Obviously, you got 84 and you got 2021. They're obviously smart enough to like blank it out a little bit, so it's not like, oh, there's a sequel in 2024. That's what I was looking out for. So maybe they are looking at doing a sequel. Who knows? But it was fine. Like, I think it's quite mad that, you know, they're quite spot on with Gozer, the, what they call her? Gozerian, I don't know. Fucking hell, whatever it's called.
Gozerian. She's Gozer the Gozerian.
Gozer the Gozerian. Yeah.
Yeah, no
Gozer,
joke. It's like Gary Gruberson.
Yeah, she looks good. She looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the film does go a bit silly when it gets into the Gozer stuff later on, which is kind of why it doesn't necessarily... I know the original is silly and this is also going to be silly, but something just didn't feel right. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, but anyway, we'll get on to that later.
Well, I mean, look...
Here's a quick thing. Why the fuck was J.K. Simmons in this film?
Yeah,
what the fuck?
That is weird.
That was bizarre. He was playing Ivo Shandor, who had sort of... And this is a kind of a bit of... filled in lore. It's like, it doesn't really tell you this throughout the film, but this guy built this town to try and resurrect Gozer or something. It's just thrown in there. It's kind of weird. J.K. Simmons,
well,
bizarre.
There's a couple of things here why that's good, though. One, it might just be because he loves Ghostbusters and wanted to be in it. Two, when it's someone like that, there's no way you're expecting him to be killed immediately. And that just adds to it.
True.
So it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, that was good.
Would I have preferred it if it was Tom Cruise? Definitely. That would have been like,
yes.
Oh, Tom Cruise is in this. Oh, he's dead, actually. It might have landed a little bit more. But maybe that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, with the Gozer stuff and the doggies, I thought I really liked it, and I liked the effects that they used and the fact that it was a little bit hokey.
Practical. The dogs at times were practical effects.
Correct.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
That's what they were in the original.
How good is that? As a...
Yeah.
And look, they literally recreated some of the scenes. With Paul Rudd's Gary character... with his shirt ripped in probably the exact same position
exact
as
same
Lewis's
way.
Shirt was ripped. But I don't mind that. I liked it. I thought maybe I would be more critical of a different franchise or a different film.
Mm.
100%.
At that point, I'd kind of bought in and I thought they'd done enough to get me hooked and to forgive any kind of minor transgressions. I loved it. It was another thing for me, actually, that added to my enjoyment of the film was the calling back to that storyline.
And the effects themselves, just talking about not only the practical effects, but I thought the proton streams looked incredible. They looked so good.
But not entirely divorced from the original, I don't think.
No, exactly. Yeah. They looked kind of like the original, and they looked kind of real. Like,
what do you mean?
They were like effects. Yeah. They were that
surely
good.
They just used the real ones from the first one.
The proton. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Confused it.
No, and I thought it was a smart move to use John and not Slimer in this, because I was like, oh, Slimer's going to come back. But no, they used Muncher, which I thought was a nice touch.
Why did Slimer not come back?
Get John in.
Because they wanted to use Muncher. Muncher's been in the canon before. He's been in Ghostbusters canon, like animation and shit. Yeah, big time. Mm. Big time Muncher. So I thought that was quite interesting. So I really like the effects. And the sound effects, like I said, just glorious. Glorious use when the proton pack turns on. That noise to me is one of the greatest sound effects of all time. It's just brilliant. And of course, John, do your little thing again.
What the Ecto-1?
Do Ecto-1.
Can only do it once.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. It's kind of like that, isn't it?
Pretty good. Yeah. I absolutely loved it.
Thanks.
Okay.
Easily impressed.
Yeah, yours too. What do you think about the little marshmallow men?
Silly. Very
didn't
silly.
Work for you? Okay.
Proper cash grab that.
Yeah, that was the thing.
The one thing I liked is how brutal they were. Because I watched this with Shell.
Yes.
And once it's like
yes.
they're like, yay, yippee, and they're just cooking their mate alive. And Shell's face is like, yes. Oh my god, I'm cracking up. So I do like that they're just so menacing.
Maniacal. They're maniacal and kind of sinister. I loved it.
But yeah, I mean, look,
it's needless. It's needless, but I thought it kind
of
worked.
Of course you did.
They were funny.
Of course you did. You've already ordered the little figurines. So yeah, I know you.
I already got one.
Yeah. Room full of porgs.
But the new version. Yeah. You've got them like climbing over a toaster or something. Look, I got this Ghostbusters toaster. It's just covered in little marshmallow men.
Yeah, that's true.
This is very impractical.
Can sit next to my porgs and my Transformers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like with merch, as it were. Yes. All right, I want to wrap up the conversation talking about the return of the OG Ghostbusters, including the ghost of Egon. What did you think when they showed up? I have to say, from my perspective, I was a bit like... It was a bit weird how they just turned up all of a sudden.
Hello.
And it felt very short. Yeah, it felt very short. However, I will say that Bill Murray's character is exactly the same.
Yeah.
I thought the jokes were very good. I thought he spoke exactly how he did during the original. So I bought all of it. It's not like I didn't buy them as characters anymore. I totally was bought into it. But the biggest thing for me was the moment of silence where Egon's ghost guides the proton pack stream thing in Phoebe's hand. I thought that was very sweet, and it really it choked me up a bit. I thought it was beautiful. What did you guys think?
Yeah. No, look, I will normally I crack up when you say something like that. You thought it was beautiful, the CGI ghost of a guy that's dead has been brought back for, you know, to obviously get this film more money at the box office. So normally I'd be like, fucking hell, they've got you hook, line and sinker. However, we're obviously massive Ghostbusters fans, so I'll let that go. I hate to say this actually, it's just so depressing, but I've said this before, Ghostbusters 1 is one of my Christmas films. So when Christmas comes along, you've obviously got your Home Alones and your standard Christmas films. Ghostbusters 1 is, I watch that every year. I'd watch this a couple of weeks ago. It just makes me think I'm going to be dead soon, because these guys, they look dead. They are so old now.
and they look old.
They look so old. Like, I mean, Ernie Hudson looks terrific.
He does look good. He looks good.
And Dan Aykroyd, I mean, I saw him on the Joe Rogan podcast not too long ago anyway. But, I mean, Bill Murray, Jesus, man. It like he gives me Harrison Ford vibes where he's kind of like, you probably just think he can't be arsed with any of this. And he can still play his character, but part of it does feel a bit, you know, I remember going mental when Emma called Mark Hamill wooden. And I was like, you're fucking wooden. but there are parts of Bill Murray here that is a bit, it's a bit wooden, isn't it? It's a bit, he's playing his character, but is it that good? Is it?
Famously, he didn't want to do this, any sequel to the Ghostbusters ever. That's a very famous thing. He was always the roadblock between a lot of the scripts that got sort of greenlit, essentially. But a lot of the studios felt they couldn't make a good sequel without his character, Venkman's character, because he's so good. Like, he's the biggest character in that franchise. So I get what you mean by that. But for once, you know, I felt, because it was only, he's only in like three scenes, I was like, I felt like he was okay being there, and I felt like he did a good job. You know, I was happy with their chemistry again. I liked it. It was very sweet. Gareth, you liked it?
I did like it. And again, I don't know. Maybe I'm softening since becoming a father or something. But I feel like I would normally have been way more cynical about this. And I just wasn't. I really liked it. I was happy that they turned up. I was happy with the level of contribution that they made, which was significant, but it wasn't the telling contribution. And I didn't mind any of their performances, to be honest. I know what you're saying, John. I get it. But again, I'm just going to take that cynical hat off for this one. Do you know, I know that, like, having seen interviews with him since, and John, you got us onto the Movies That Made Us show. Ernie Hudson was like, he came across pretty pissed off with how Ghostbusters turned out for him.
Well, yeah, because of the rewrites, I think, and stuff.
All the rewrites. He ended up being massively underwritten.
Yeah.
Because they wanted fucking Eddie Murphy in it, that's why.
Yeah, well, and that's brutal, but he came in, and in this, he probably had as many lines, if not more, than Dan Aykroyd. I mean, I know that none of them had, like, significant parts of this film, but they obviously sort of, they were making him one of the gang, which I think is maybe missing from the OG Ghostbusters.
Well, I mean, the most telling sign there is that he's like, well, I'm taking the Ecto One, so
yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
why
exactly.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd paid for that. I'm not even going to use his real name. Dan Aykroyd, he paid for that in the film. That's Ray. His.
Yeah.
So if anything, unless he owes him money from gambling debts or whatever, like, he decides that he's taking Ecto One. Unbelievable.
Maybe if you were Eddie Murphy, you could take it. But
imagine if Eddie Murphy was in it instead. Oh, we can afford him now.
My God.
Reboot.
He owes him all the money from the birthday parties that they went around doing at the start of Ghostbusters 2. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Well, that's it then. That's it for Ghostbusters Afterlife. It has lived, and we enjoyed it. It was definitely a much more enjoyable film than some of the other trash we've been watching recently. But I will say I don't think we need any more. In my heart, I think this was a lovely one and done situation.
100%.
I'm sure the boys agree with that. You know, we did want more Watchmen, never got it. But this is definitely going to be one and done.
Yeah, I mean, the difference with Watchmen is that there's so much, there's more material in that universe. Like, so they could be done with those characters in Watchmen. But there's so much more to explore there. There's enough on TV, and Stranger Things would be one of those things where you can see that, it's got those Ghostbusters vibes, that 80s vibe. Like I'm happy to see the Ghostbusters influence live on in other like shows, films.
They can hand the baton over.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hand over the proton pack. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Be careful, that's real.
Same thing there, John.
So yeah.
Steady on. But yeah, I do think that this was a lovely Sunday film, a lovely family film. So please do watch it if you've not seen.
Don't need
film,
a family to watch
like
it.
Ghostbusters.
If you've got a 3 month
old, need one.
Perfect.
Nah, yeah, just make sure the volume's down. But yep, that's it for Ghostbusters Afterlife. I want to thank my fellow Ghostbuster Gareth and the ghost that we caught, John, Muncher John.
Monster.
I want to thank you for joining us today. Yeah. So thank you very much, boys. Thank you to everyone who listened. Let us know your thoughts on Ghostbusters Afterlife. You can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com or get in touch with us on any of our social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all in the show notes if you need a direct link to them. We will return next week as usual, every Tuesday, releasing all the time for you, the listeners. Thank you, John. Thank you, Gareth.
Thank you.
And who are you going to call? Fan Critical. That's who. Bye.
Bye.
Don't put that in. Jesus Christ.
Better call. Ghostbusters!
Who you gonna call?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.